Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so glad we are all joining in together in this moment. And let's join in that quiet, still space within each of us that we all share. If we feel distracted by the swirlings of the mind, we can just see if we can step back and observe it and sort of drop beneath it or rise above it. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And if we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, welcome everybody. So we are in the Sparkle Edition. We're actually mid-section. In the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 236, and we'll be starting at the first full paragraph, "Could any part of God be without his love?" If you have the original edition, we're in chapter 10, and it's paragraph number 11. So it's page 197, begins with the same sentence. And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 195, paragraph number 7. Could any part of God be without his love? Excuse me. All right, here we go. And by the way, the section that we're in is called Projection versus Extension. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's called The Gifts of Fatherhood. Could any part of God be without his love? And could any part of his love be contained? God is your heritage because his one gift is himself. How can you give except like him if you would know his gift to you? Give then without limit and without end to learn how much he has given you. Your ability to accept him depends on your willingness to give as he gives. Your fatherhood and your father are one. God willed to create and your will is his. It follows then that you will to create, since your will follows from his. And being an extension of his will, yours must be the same. So we'll pause there, and by all means, if anybody has an insight or a question or something that stands out to you, please do share. I know for me, the things that stand out immediately in this paragraph are this idea that God's will is not something outside of us. We think of it typically as something that's alien to us, something that is different, something that is different than our will, and God's will is our will. It also strikes me how what comes forward for me in this paragraph as well is that idea that giving and receiving are one in truth, that to learn fully what we have, we give. And to me, thinking in a more formless sort of way, I mean, of course, you can think about giving with, you know, material things, but I'm thinking just about giving love, about being willing to see the Holy Spirit in another person. And as we give that gift to the other person and suspending our own judgment, what we get back is that not only true perception, but those then experiences of what we really are, which is a huge, huge gift to ourselves and to others. So does anybody have anything that came up for you in this paragraph or anything that stands out?
What about when...
Hi, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
God willed to create and your will is his. It follows then that you will create since your will follows from his. See, I think I'm taking this a little too literally.
Mm-hmm. God willed to extend love, and our will is the same. So,
right, okay. So if we're extending anything but love, then we're really not extending his will.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're not extending love. That's when we're putting up those blocks, when we, you know, don't even realize that we have put a block in between, you know, from allowing that love to extend.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And so it's our will to extend love too, because our wills are the same.
Hey, this is Rhett calling in. Go ahead.
Go.
Well, I just wanted to share something pretty cool from another perspective. Although I am totally head over heels in love with the Course, I do come from a Swedenborgian background. I don't know if you've ever heard of Emanuel Swedenborg, but he says something pretty cool about this topic, which is that when the angels are perceiving that they are in line with God's will, that's when they literally feel the most free. And that's almost a paradox, because if you think about your will in relation to God's will, it kind of seems like, well, my will is my will, and that's my will. But what Swedenborg says is that when we are in perfect accord with God's will, that's when the angels feel the most free. The moment we start to stray away from God's will, there's a sense of not being fully free, which is just an amazing concept.
Doesn't the Course say that angels are the thoughts of God?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would say we all actually are, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what angels are. They're the thoughts of God.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They're God's thoughts.
And it's us, right?
Yeah. Well, I think when Swedenborg mentions angels, he just means spirits who are not in bodily form, who are in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mean to sidetrack us too much away from what
I don't see that as a sidetrack at all. That is perfectly relevant with what we're talking about. And could you repeat what you said again about perceiving, when the angels perceive that they're in line with God's will,
they perceive that they are in perfect freedom.
And I mean, can't we all relate to that? Like, I'm thinking, I know he's talking about it in a formless level, but when we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that to me sounds like the same thing.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah.
That's where freedom comes for us.
Yeah.
Well, and it also reminds me of that line in the Course that says, in the workbook, actually, that says, giving and receiving are one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like our will and God's will are the same, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Good stuff. Okay, next paragraph. Yet what you will, you do not know. This is not strange when you realize that to deny is to not know. God's will is that you are his son. By denying this, you denied your own will, and therefore do not know what it is. The reason you must ask what God's will is in everything is merely because it is yours. You do not know what it is, but the Holy Spirit remembers it for you. Ask him, therefore, what God's will is for you, and he will tell you yours. It cannot be too often repeated that you do not know. You do not know it. Whenever what the Holy Spirit tells you appears to be coercive, it is only because you do not recognize your own will. What really
How
jumps
do you
out
see
to me,
that?
Well, what jumps out to me in this paragraph, and I don't know if this is going to answer your question, Paula, but please let's come back to it. The Holy Spirit remembers our will for us. That line, I have it circled and starred, that the Holy Spirit remembers our will for us, and that's why we are utterly dependent on God, on the Holy Spirit, for remembering our way back home, because we have denied that we are God's son and have instead chosen to enter into this, you know, seeming dream of separation, and we have forgotten our truth. And so with the Holy Spirit remembering it for us, that's our way out of this. Paula, what was your question?
Well, you just answered.
Oh, I did. Okay. I was hoping maybe that would happen, but
yeah, no, that's exactly what happened.
Okay, good.
I think the thing that threw me there a little bit was Holy Spirit, whenever what the Holy Spirit tells you appears to be coercive, it is only because you do not recognize your own will. So, but the thought of the Holy Spirit telling me something coercive, maybe I'm not, what's the definition of coercive?
Threatening.
So, yeah, like, was that Paul?
That was me. It means to threaten or to be threatening.
Or coercive,
right.
Trying to convince you, trying to get
trying
you
to
do
convince,
something
right.
Yeah, that you don't want to do. Yeah, and so it feels threatening.
But how would that come about? I mean, that seems too abstract to me.
Well, that's
the Holy
where
Spirit.
We are. It's our process that we've distorted. Think of love impulses just like extending. Like these impulses of love are just coming, you know, they're just extending all the time. Because we are profoundly confused right now, we distort those impulses. The Course talks about miracle impulses as well. And so it comes out instead as like, you know, urges. Maybe like we distort, you know, that impulse of love and put it instead in the form of sex because that's something, you know, that we can accept or whatever. So if an impulse of, you know, whatever it may be, love comes forward and we aren't ready, don't want to hear it, you know, I can't think of any specific examples at the moment, but it's pretty much just, you know, it's when we're in that place of not wanting to forgive, not wanting to see differently. And, yeah.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Oh, God, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
so,
you know, go ahead.
Go on. No, go on.
It's like a bad habit I have of, just going right into judgment when something doesn't seem right to me, and you know, I'll go right into, I'm not gonna be bothered with that again, or I sort of shut down. And I'm very aware of that anymore. And I'm not doing that so much anymore because that's all about thinking you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, thinking you know what that person's thinking, or you know the outcome, and there's really, boy, talk about freedom. There is
right.
just tremendous freedom in trusting,
and being in that place of knowing that we don't know. That's
that
where the
we
place
don't
of, like,
know.
So much power and peace comes from when we can acknowledge that we don't know.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think I'm a mind, or like I think people should be able to read my mind, and that's another form of this craziness.
Uh-huh.
And but then being too afraid to really speak my truth, I experienced it this morning, I really went to the Holy Spirit with this, and I said, let me make this phone call and express what I need to express here without it seeming combative or, you know. And I got a response from this person that was just exactly the answer. I mean, it was wonderful the way it turned mm-hmm. out. I couldn't even, but it took a lot of, you know, it took a lot of trust for me to just let go of my preconceived notions of what I thought was going on in this situation and
right.
really just speaking my truth and then letting that person respond. Mm-hmm. I know I'm this sounds a little abstract because I'm not giving you the details, but I don't think the details are necessary because really it is just a matter of trust.
Right.
And
right.
trusting in the Holy Spirit to give you the guidance to allow the words to come out of your mouth in a way
right.
that
right.
the person
exactly.
can hear it.
This is Yogi. I have something that's very specific. It seems as though that's what I've been working with every time I open the course, and then now we come to the course about God's will. It's interesting because it says that God's will is yours. So I'm thinking specifically, so you have two choices. In my case right now, do I go back and teach Kundalini Yoga, which I've done, you know, I've taught Kundalini Yoga and mindfulness meditation for almost 20 years, but I want to write. And I feel very torn between both. And I keep hearing, well, you're not teaching yoga all the time, so you can write when you're not teaching. But then there's this sort of inner conflict. And there's this huge pull to go back and teach because that's what Yogi Bhajan, my teacher, wanted me to do. So very specifically, how do I know which is God's will? How do I define God's will within my own self? What is God's will? If it's truly what I want to do, because that's what the Course says. The Course says, God's will is your will.
Mm-hmm.
It says that further down in paragraph 10.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're thinking about specifically what is God's will, how do we choose between two particular things that we think we want to do? So just be very concrete here.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and I want to I'll share my thoughts, and then I want to open it up to see, because I know other people are going to
Yeah, let's hear what everybody has to say.
I do want to just say that for me, in putting myself in, you know, your shoes in you know, situations in my own life, I take both of those situations of what, you know, I think it's got to be this one or that one, and I get myself into a place of genuinely laying it, you know, giving it to the Holy Spirit as best I can and getting quiet as best I can and listening. And usually for me, the you know, something in my heart, something sort of like lights up about what the right thing for me to do is. It feels easy. It feels natural. And I heard you say that there's a small voice that says, well, you can do both. You can, you know, teach and write. But then I heard you express that then there's another voice that sort of, you know, doubts that that's possible. So those are just some of my thoughts. But I'd love to open it up and see if other people have some input.
I think one of the, which would make you feel most comfortable?
Well, they both would. They both would because, you know, because I write about yoga. I write about Vipassana or mindfulness. And I know that the doubt is the ego.
Uh-huh.
The doubt is definitely the ego because I know I have to work with some people that maybe I don't want to work with. I'm going to have to take some more certification with Kundalini Yoga. But no matter how much I try to push this aside, it always comes back that that's what I should be doing. And it's when I'm teaching Kundalini Yoga, that's when I'm the most happy because I do so much of it in my everyday life, and that is when I can help the most amount of people. Mm-hmm. So I like both. I like both.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else have any insights to share about how we find God's will if we have two things we want to do that we like?
Well, actually, I'm kind of in that situation where I love to paint, and yet work, going to work every day brings me that paycheck at the end of the week that where I don't have any money problems or I don't have to worry about money. So that kind of overrides anything at the moment. It's where I can be the happiest and the most carefree.
So it's trust, then. It's a matter of trusting that the Holy Spirit will take care of us when we do what is His will, which is, the Course says, is ours, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
so in your case, like painting, yeah, you know, you enjoy painting.
But I can do that and work, too. I can do that in work, too, and that's exactly what I do. I paint every Monday night. I'm in a class, and I paint. So that satisfies that. And then sometimes on the weekend, if I'm not too busy, I do it here in the house, you know. But so I kind of do both.
And that's just what comes up for me, Yogi. I just heard you express so much happiness around both of those things. So I can appreciate the conflict that you feel about feeling like you have to pick maybe one or the other. But I definitely hear that, you know, excitement and that happiness surrounding both.
Yeah, and I guess as you said, it's just getting still and getting quiet and just mm-hmm. going with doing what you really love. And as Paula said, I think for me it's the ego gets in, the doubt gets in, and then once the doubt gets in, it clouds everything, you know?
Yeah, and what does it do? But it just prevents us from moving forward. It
yeah,
prevents us from,
yeah.
you know, going with that trust and with that love and, you know, that happiness that, it's happily, you know, curling its hands that it's distracting you from
I think
the
ego's a big question, whether it's deciding to pick this dentist or that dentist or buy this house or buy that house, or it's all about what God's will is for us, what the Holy, being able to listen to the Holy Spirit, which is our inner being or our, you know, guidance. How do we really, because sometimes it's, how do we know it's not our ego that's talking to us? I think that's true of just with anything, you know, how do we get to the point where it's not our ego that's telling us to do this or do that? How do we really know what God's will is in any particular
situation?
It's always
how do you feel. It always comes down to how do you feel.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I agree totally. This is Rhett. I want to say that is what I think, because when I've got a choice to make between, you know, doing this or doing that or doing this and that, and I check in with the Holy Spirit, I look at how I feel. And whichever option makes me feel the most joy or happiness or freedom, that's how I know what God's will is. And, you know, as I then make a choice and move into that decision in action, then things could change. And so there's another decision point. That's where I check in again. And now maybe I need to branch off this way or that way. But I think you're absolutely right. I don't know your names yet, but I agree that you want to check in and see how you feel about it, because your feelings will generally tell you when your will is aligned with God.
I think the ego's voice is the voice that tells you you can't do both. You know, that you can't.
Yeah.
If I can add.
Do
you want to go, Deidre?
Go ahead.
I was just going to add, I wholeheartedly agree. It's all about how we feel. And what I would also say, though, too, is that in my own experience, there are times when I don't know if it's my ego, if it's my spiritual ego sneaking in there, because remember, it is so subtle and sneaky. I don't know if it's that spiritual ego or if it's the Holy Spirit's voice. And so not knowing is fine, because all I'm still going to do what I feel inclined to do, and I'm going to give it to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to, you know, leave the Holy Spirit out of the process, because by giving whatever it is that I'm, you know, whatever path or direction it is that I'm stepping, by giving it to the Holy Spirit, I'm still leaving an open space for a lot of those shifts to come in. And we have to remember as well, you know, that this is all done already. We can't make a mistake, that this is just, you know, the Course talks about this is like an old tape that's still playing that is over and done, but we're like looking back at it as if it's happening now. So that to me is just comforting, that we can't get it wrong. We can't make a mistake if we just hand whatever it is that we go through to the Holy Spirit. Because even if we're listening to the ego at that point, and we don't really know that we are, the Holy Spirit is going to use that on behalf of our awakening. So no matter what we do, you know, it almost doesn't matter if we, you know, do this or that. It's the whole point is just giving it to the Holy Spirit, because it'll be used on behalf of our awakening.
That's brilliant.
Amen. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Deidre, what were you going to add?
I was just going to add, like, for me, in my own life, I've been getting guidance a lot lately to start teaching. And so I'm going to be launching a class the end of July, and the thing is, thank you, Corinne, that, you know, the ego will get in there and be like, oh, but you need more credentials, and you need more that, and you need more this, but my angels and guides and spirit are telling me, like, the idea of credentials and having everything, you know, perfect is all ego stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just, like, it's, I think sometimes as humans, we kind of are a little bit passive and we don't take the leap, but spirit also requires that we work with our guidance and take action. So I'm not, you know, I know that I'm qualified to fulfill my mission because this is why I came here. And so what I wanted to share for Yogi, because she's got this wealth of 20 years of Kundalini experience, there is no more credentials that you need. You are given everything that you need, and you're blessing the world already. So all you need to do is extend yourself in love, and you will be guided with whatever it is that you need to fulfill, whatever it is that you're meant to fulfill. So I would just say, like, jump in there.
Yeah, thank you, because you're right. It's always I need another course, or I need to go listen to this guru, or listen to this prophet, or do this, or do this other course.
Yeah.
And then I stall.
Right.
My ego just stalls, and it's like I'm never, and it's just fear. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I've heard you, like, I know that this is your passion, so I would just say go for it. Like, just who cares?
Yeah,
cause
totally.
Because spirit
lifts
you. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Dive in. I think I heard Tony.
Oh, yeah. There's a line in the course that says, the ego analyzes, the Holy Spirit accepts.
Mm.
So I think when you're at peace with something, that's how you know, like, that's what you need to be doing. And when you go into analysis paralysis, that's how you know, like, the ego has seeped in.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Oh, God.
That is,
yeah, I was
going
to say, like, too, just to add to what Tony just said, because it just came up for me, like, you can still have, like, insecurity or fear come up even when you know you're meant to be doing something. And like Corinne said earlier, what I found for me that works is if I can get still long enough to feel, you know, if I feel at peace, even though I might have some, you know, judgment of myself or whatever fear come up about moving forward, that doesn't necessarily mean that I should stop myself from moving forward. It just means that anytime we're about to do anything important or related to our mission here, fear often comes up, and the bigger the fear is, or the more intense it feels, that's usually a sign of how, to the degree of which we're meant to do it. So there's also a peace under that too, and I know this sounds really confusing, but when you know you're meant to do something, it's just, there's a peace behind it.
That doesn't sound confusing at all. I think you expressed
clear.
That perfectly.
Yeah. So
I agree.
It's like your mission is bigger than whatever fear might be there.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Deidre. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
And totally crystal clear. How about we read another paragraph? The projection of the ego makes it appear as if God's will is outside yourself and therefore not yours. In this interpretation, it is possible for God's will and yours to conflict. God then may seem to demand of you what you do not want to give and thus deprive you of what you want. Would God, who wants only your will, be capable of this? Your will is his life, which he has given to you. Even in time, you cannot live apart from him, for sleep is not death. What he created can sleep, but it cannot die. Immortality is his will for his son, and his son's will for himself. God's son cannot will death for himself, because his father is life, and his son is like him. Creation is your will because it is his. Mm. I feel speechless at the moment. When the Course talks about death and how we're just sleeping right now, and you know how we can't die. You know, we can confuse ourselves with things that do, but we cannot die. It's just so comforting. We can sleep, but we cannot die. Paula, were you going to say something? I heard.
It just seems like this paragraph said exactly what we were just talking about.
It does. Yeah.
I mean, it so perfectly dovetails with this conversation.
I agree. Awesome. Anybody else have anything come up? Okay, let's read the next paragraph. You cannot be happy unless you do what you will truly, and you cannot change this because it is immutable. It is immutable by God's will and yours, for otherwise his will would not have been extended. You are afraid to know God's will because you believe it is not yours. This belief is your whole sickness and your whole fear. Every symptom of sickness and fear arises here because this is the belief that makes you want not to know. Believing this, you hide in darkness, denying that the light is in you. So this to me is saying that we hold a deep belief that God's will is something different than our will. This ties into me just with the Course's teaching about, you know, the unconscious guilt that we carry, that we think God's going to punish us and, you know, kill us for seemingly separating. And this belief that God's will is different than ours is saying it's the source of our sickness, our fear. It's the belief that makes us want to not wake up. So it's that hidden belief, that, you know, tiny or not so tiny resistance, fear that might come up, you know, as we move along. And it's saying that believing this, we hide in darkness, denying that the light is in us, and yet we're learning otherwise. We're learning how to work with that and to bring these unconscious beliefs up to the surface to look at with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're doing every time we choose to listen to the Holy Spirit rather than the ego. We're giving a chance, a layer of the onion to be peeled away. Anything coming up
kind
for anybody
of,
so far?
Well, what's kind of coming up for me right now is what Yogi was talking about, and kind of it really that goes around in my own head about work and art and what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing, is that I can multitask. I mean, I think the ego is really that little idea that you should only be doing one thing. You know, it should be this way. This is the way it should be for you to be happy. And personally, I like a variety in my life. I don't like to get overwhelmed, and I don't get overwhelmed when I'm when I'm doing these things with the Holy Spirit.
That's
it's sort
key.
Of like that thing we were talking about last week with the cat. When I wanted to get these cats, but I really wasn't sure, and I was going kind of around and around about it, I wasn't able to pick up the phone and say, "Cancel the cats." You know, I wasn't able to call that breeder. I just was as simple as that. And I just kept taking it to the Holy Spirit and trusting, well, I guess it'll be all right. And it turned out to be beyond all right.
Yeah.
So again, it's kind of trust, and it's really a process. It's really a daily kind of dance we do with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. It's our development of trust.
Yeah.
For
but
most of
say,
us,
I think the ego
out.
Is really the idea that, no, it should be done right now. No, this is the way it should be. Bonk.
Absolutely. I'm sure many of us have had that experience. I know for me, I can remember a specific time where I was just overwhelmed with the minutiae, with just all the little tiny details that I had to take care of. And I was stressing. finally had that moment of remembering, oh, I can give this to the Holy Spirit. And actually, this is one of my favorite parts in the Ur text where Jesus is speaking and he says, I want you to give the minutia to me so you can spend more time with me. I'll take care of all the little stuff for you. And in that, in practicing that and saying, okay, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know, take all this, like, I don't want to do it, or, you know, I'm really struggling here. You know, I got those things done so easily, and it was absolutely effortless and no stress whatsoever. It was just everything that I was creating around it and, you know, that was causing me pain. And so simply by having that shift, remembering to ask for help, even in the little bitty gritty details of life, we can even ask for help there too.
I think what you just said about being effortless is so key.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed for me is, like, especially lately with what, you know, has transpired with my living situation and stuff, there have been miracles that I couldn't have, you know, planned better. Like, I'll just give a small example that it was just hilarious to the point that I'm staying with my mom at the moment and looking for a place, but my old bed, which was, you know, damaged, I called to get a quote for a replacement, and it turns out that they don't make the bed that I used to have. Mm-hmm. But the salesperson's talking to me on the phone, and he's going, but we can get you one that's similar, and the new one, you know, is made out of all organic materials. And I'm on the phone, and I'm trying not to laugh, because basically my old bed is being replaced with something way better.
Yeah.
And I got off the phone, and my mom and I were literally in hysterics, because, you know, I eat all organic food, I try to, you know, buy organic clothing. You know, and I didn't do this, you know, years before the course. And the same thing happened with my iPad, which was destroyed. I called the manufacturer, and they were like, oh, we don't make your iPad 4 anymore. And the closest one we have is the newest model. So basically, Holy Spirit is replacing my fourth generation iPad with the top of the line newest model there is. And I'm just sitting there going, I couldn't have planned this, but thank you very much, Holy Spirit, you know? And
Deidre,
I love it.
You know?
I swear to you, this is happening in my life so much anymore. His will for us is beyond anything we can imagine.
It's
and
hilarious.
So much better than what we can imagine.
It's hilarious. Like, I cannot tell you how many times in the last couple of weeks I've been in literal hysterics over how the universe is just lining up everything. And it's like you're just sitting here and you're watching it unfold. You're not doing anything. You're just watching it unfold. It's hilarious.
Effortless accomplishment.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
I'm
looking at... That is awesome. Thank you, Deidre. I'm looking at this first sentence here. You cannot be happy unless you do what you will truly, which suggests to me that there's a possibility that I might do what I will not truly. And, of course, that happens all the time. And that's when I'm unhappy. Is when I am doing what I will, but not really what I will, really want to do. Elmer Fudd, emphasis there, you know. And so a lot of times when I'm unhappy, like if I am just miserably unhappy, I can ask myself, what do I really will here? And then when I begin to look at that and ask the Holy Spirit, hey, can you help me look at this? Can you cast your holy light of truth into the situation so that I can see what my real will is? Because once I see that, I'll know what your will is, and therefore I will find my happiness.
Mm. Yeah.
Boy, when I think about it that way, it just makes it a little easier to untangle the little messes that I get myself into.
Oh, Rhett, that's so perfect. And I love that you honed in on that word truly. I feel like when we're reading this, we can skip over so easily, you know, little words like that. But you're right. That makes all the difference, because that does imply we can will not truly or untruly.
Right.
And what you said makes me think of just how, you know, we are happy when we are communicating with the Holy Spirit, when we're letting the voice of the Holy Spirit extend through us, speak through us, act, you know, through us. That makes us happy. I know for me, that's when I'm most at peace, when I am in Corinne and thinking, you know, concerned about Corinne, whatever, in whatever form that may take, I'm not happy. So it's that ability to, you know, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit speak through us, that makes us happy.
And tell us what our will is, which is really kind of, that's really almost so ironic that we can actually look to a will outside of ourselves, or apparently outside of ourselves, to show us our own free will. That's where that free word comes in there again. Because you would think that you would only look at your own will to find out what is your free will, but that's not so.
Mm.
Because our own self-will, small s, is by definition not God's will, and it's the will that leads to misery.
Yes.
So I can't get over what a paradox that is, that when we can't see our own will because we've blinded ourselves to it, then we can look to the Holy Spirit and say, can you show me my will, because my true will, my will truly, because then I'm seeing your will and I'm seeing the will, the only will that there really is, which is God's will, where all happiness is.
Boy, remembering to do that.
Yes.
Whoa.
That's the tricky part.
That's the tricky part, but
that's where the practicing comes in, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that question.
Oh, I do too.
Show me what my will is. And what is my will? Asking that of the Holy Spirit. That was so rich, Rhett. Thank you so much. That was really helpful.
Oh, thank you. I don't know where it came from. It was rich for me, too. Yum, yum.
We know where it came from.
I feel like we all do very good on this call at stepping out of the way and letting the Holy Spirit speak through all of us. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Anybody else want to add anything or share anything?
Yeah, I just want to say that was brilliant because, yeah, I just really got it. You cannot be happy unless you do what you will truly. And you cannot change this because it is immutable. Yeah.
Awesome.
Just one little thing that I just thought of now is when I'm able to get really still, like really, really still, that's when I know what God's will is and my will is. If I'm not still and I'm like questioning and I'm like, you know, could this possibly be what I want to do? Or like I'm still vacillating between the two things or the choice or whatever. It just means that I'm not still enough to listen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, or as the Course says to somewhere here, because we don't want to know. There's just somewhere the paragraph above that or that paragraph just says it's because we're afraid to know what our will is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because we think we do know. And that's a boy, I'll tell you, that can be so tricky.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything else about that, Paula?
No.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Let's read the last paragraph. You are asked to trust the Holy Spirit only because he speaks for you. He is the voice for God, but never forget that God did not will to be alone. He shares his will with you. He does not thrust it upon you. Always remember that what he gives, he holds. so that nothing he gives can contradict him. You who share his life must share it to know it, for sharing is knowing. Blessed are you who learn that to hear the will of God, that to hear the will of your Father is to know your own. For it is your will to be like him, whose will it is that it be so. God's will is that his Son be one and united with him in his oneness. That is why healing is the beginning of the recognition that your will is his. What really jumps out to me in this paragraph is sort of in the middle where it says, always remember that what he gives, he holds, so that nothing he gives can contradict him. If you think about all of the attributes that we might list, if we were to just say, you know, what is God? And we'd probably come up with words like love and peace and joy and happiness and safety and security and oneness. He's holding all those things, and nothing that he gives can contradict him. Everything that he gives has to be those things. And so that's the will of God. That's what is our inheritance. That's what we are, and that is what is for us. So that's a sentence that really jumps out to me.
That is a great way of looking at it. That really is, Corinne. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, when I'm not feeling confident, when I have doubt, when I'm fearful, I'm not doing his will. I don't know what his will is when I'm doing that because I'm contradicting his will.
Right. Yeah, because what are we experiencing then but fear? And that's not of God. He does not hold that.
It's the world teaches this on such a level, though, that it's anymore when I am in conversation or with friends who really aren't, you know, don't know about the Course and are just reacting to the world. I'm still doing that, too, in some way. The quicker I can get to the Holy Spirit and say, help me to see this, help me to see them differently, help me to help them, you know? And things shift and change so rapidly. I'm so amused by it. I can't even...
Yeah,
it's grace. It's God's grace. I mean, we're literally opening a space for grace when we do that. And again, it doesn't just help us. It helps whoever we're with. And it lightens up the situation every time.
It sure does. That's what it means to be a miracle worker, to be, you know, Paula, when you were talking, I just thought about how, like, you know, calling on the Holy Spirit is as simple as saying, help. kind of captures it, you know, help.
Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to see differently. And just calling the Holy Spirit in makes all the difference because we're no longer doing it by ourselves.
And also, another thing, though, really, that for me is important is not to try and control any of this, you know. Just let them be who they are. Leave them alone, no matter what they're doing. It's their business, not mine, you know.
Yeah.
The ego wants to really own the whole show. And it
oh, it
just,
does.
No, thank you.
Sure it does.
I'm sorry. Go ahead with what you were going to say.
This is Rhett. I wanted to share something that really popped out to me right smack in the middle of that paragraph where it says, you who share his life must share it to know it, for sharing is knowing. And this probably touches on the biggest, most exciting theme of discovery for me in these last couple of months since I've been on these conference calls with this other group that I'm with. But it's the concept that sharing me, sharing something that's inside of me is something that I didn't do for the majority of my life. I was just all walled in, and I could make commentary on something that somebody asked me, I'll do that. I'll compare this with that for you anytime. But for me to just share something that is me was terrifying for me. And through the work that I've been doing, and Corinne, one of the reasons I love the work that you're doing is because you bring into the limelight the importance of the therapeutic process. And what is therapy really than sharing? If you're not sharing in therapy, you ain't doing therapy. And you ain't growing, and you ain't learning yourself, and you ain't knowing. You who share his life must share it to know it, for sharing is knowing. Until I really began sharing myself, I didn't know myself. Mm. I can't know God unless I share the God that's inside of me with others, because we cannot go home alone. You know, the process of salvation and redemption is done with our brothers and sisters and no other way. And if I'm not sharing what I am discovering inside of myself from God, then I've just walled off, I'm isolating, and I'm never going to make it home until I begin to share. And that's why these calls are so awesome. That's why the therapeutic process is so awesome, because we share and we hear and we know. We can't know God unless we share the God that's within us. Oh. I just think that is the most profound discovery for me. So thank you for letting me share that. It is
huge.
Oh my
gosh. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Wow. You know, what came up for me when you were speaking was just about how we share ideas to strengthen them, right? And if I think we talked about this a week or so ago when we talked about the part of the course that it says, you know, when we withdraw our participation or our, you know, belief in the ego and maybe don't chime in a big, you know, circle of people who are complaining about whatever. Those who believe in that thought system perceive it as an attack on them because we're weakening it. We're no longer participating. And so what we are strengthening in each other through these calls and through just our own work with the Course is the fact that, you know, we are love, we are spirit, we are truth. And as each of us gets that, you're not just getting it for yourself. You're doing it for everybody. We all benefit. And it'll be in ways that we can't maybe necessarily put a finger on. But
I just had a thought, because there's a part of me that's saying, but you have to trust an awful lot. Oh, no. When you're coming from the intellect, you have to trust. But when you're sharing through the Holy Spirit, it is effortless accomplishment, and they get it. Not only do you get it, but they get it, and they get it in a way that shines. I was with a boy this afternoon. I've got a wonderful family, but we've got a lot of contrast. And I was with a boy this afternoon that is a heroin addict. And when I first saw him, you know, I could see that. Oh God, I just felt frightened, and I thought to myself, I'm not doing this. He is as God created him, and I am going to the Holy Spirit with this. I'm telling you, by the time we got through with this party, and he stayed at the table, he looked like a different person. He looked like a different person through my eyes, because now I was seeing him with the Holy Spirit and not judging him and giving myself that chance, you know, to see him that way. And it turns out he's really on the mend, and he's working. He's got a full-time job he's working on. And it's, you know, just listening to him talk, it's not nearly what I thought it was. But, you know, again, when I go in with this notion that I know what it is, I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And then you block that light and that love, you know?
Right, so, absolutely. That's what judgment does. That's what thinking we know does. Any final comments? We have a minute left.
Just to add to what Rhett was saying, because this week I'm doing another program, and this week is all about, you know, the holy encounter. And so I just wanted to share in conjunction with what you shared is that we need each other to see so that we can see the truth in ourselves. So it's such a beautiful way of looking at everything that exists in the universe, because we need everything is essential to help reveal to us the true nature of what we are. Yes. We can't do it by ourselves. Right. We need each other.
Yeah, we absolutely do, because we're all one. We're all of that one mind. According to the Course, that shattered itself into fragments, and so we're all coming back together.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other. And feel free, anybody, you know, Deidre, you mentioned programs coming up. If anybody has anything to share like that, please post a link on the ACIM study group in Miracle Share. That would be fantastic, so we can just keep up with each other with what's going on.
Awesome.
Hey, good evening. May I say something, Corinne? This is Carla.
Oh, hi, Carla. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Welcome. Obviously, I got the email. Hey, I good evening, family. I just wanted to say hi, and I think it was you, Corinne, that shared something earlier about feeling overwhelmed with the little details of day in and day out stuff. And I was just saying that to myself as I was opening up mail. Like, damn, I really don't feel like doing this. Like, I just want to, I do feel overwhelmed, and I do feel a sense of hopelessness and with the work situation stuff, and giving it over to the Holy Spirit. Boy, that sounds lovely, but I don't know how many times in my head I thought I must have given it to the Holy Spirit, but perception has not changed yet. I said yet because there's also a part of me that actually believes that it can. And I'm struggling with that right now. It's like I feel like my life is, I do have fun, of course, when I'm not at work. And there's some aspects of it that I do enjoy, but it's a challenge on a daily basis for me. And just feeling overwhelmed with having to be there and then having to come home and take care of the household. It's like, I feel like my joy is like slipping. I'm having a hard time staying connected to that joy. So as I'm giving it over to the Holy Spirit, now I do recognize that this is all me. So I wish I could blame somebody else or something else, but I can't. But as I'm giving this over to the Holy Spirit, there ain't nothing happening, or it ain't happening fast enough. So I guess I'm gonna just have to feel what I feel and just let it be what it is. I don't want to sink into a depression. Been there, done that, and I'm just doing what I can to stay as connected as I can in the days that I have had and in this moment. I don't know about tomorrow. I'm not there yet. I could wake up and be totally transformed tomorrow, but up until this point, I'm not really feeling very, very happy right now. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, and that's okay. And Carla, I'm so glad that you're here. Carla and I, just so everybody knows, we met today at a workshop that we were at with John Mundy. And so I know a little bit, Carla, just about the situation too, from what you told me when we spoke earlier. And part of what comes up for me, and again, I'll open this up to see if anybody else has any wisdom to share. But for me, when I feel there's a difference for me, I have a few things to say, between saying, okay, Holy Spirit, here you go, versus actually doing it. And actually doing it, for me, has that stillness piece to it where I can get, and not always, so I should sort of preface that because I can think of times when I am in a sort of tizzy and it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, help, and it's really just that tiny little call for help that will be answered when we're ready, you know, for the answer. But there can also be some additional work with trying to get still and listen. However, I know for me, when I am very worked up, it's next to impossible to get quiet. So for me, you know, I always emphasize that we have to be where we're at. We can't force ourselves to be different. We can't, you know, we can wish we were further along with the course, whatever that means. Obviously, you know, we're judging ourselves if we think that we should be anywhere other than we are. But there may be things that we need to go through for our learning. And so that's where if we can take whatever situation it is, like, for instance, you know, you had mentioned earlier a situation with your coworker. Doing the course doesn't mean that you need to force yourself to not take the bait when somebody is, like, you know, dangling some kind of bait in front of you to engage in some sort of conflict. Doing the course is not about your own small will deciding, I'm not going to engage in this. It's about turning it to the Holy Spirit. And then through that, we might be easily and effortlessly guided to not engage, or we might feel like we need to just set some boundaries because it's going to be the most loving thing we can do for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that because we have to be where we're at. And whatever we do, again, we can take to the Holy Spirit, whether we remember a week later or a day later. It's all about, you know, giving it to the Holy Spirit to use on behalf of our awakening. So I say that because we've talked a lot, too, on these calls about, you know, setting boundaries, because there's times when we need to do that for ourselves. And the course talks about, I wish I could remember the quote, but it has to do with turning the other cheek. And, you know, if a brother asks, give because the brother asks, but don't give if it's going to hurt you. Meaning if we're in a place where, you know, it's going to not resonate with us, it's not going to feel good to do something, then by all means, you know, set a boundary. And so I said I would open this up to other people, and I know I keep rambling, but I'll just share one
You're
other
not
quick
rambling.
Example. And that was with a family member that I had a pattern with for my whole life where I could not speak up to this person, and I would give it to the Holy Spirit, and I'd give it to the Holy Spirit, and nothing would change. Nothing would happen. And you know why? It's because I needed to learn. One of my lessons that I needed to go through was to learn how to find my own voice. It was painful. It was scary. It wasn't an easy thing. But it was just something that I needed to go through at that time without, and maybe I went through it without thinking of the Holy Spirit at all, but I did it ultimately without guilt because I afterwards even gave the whole thing over. So you've got to be where you're at. Allow yourself to feel like you feel, you know, like you said. And with that tiny small willingness, continue to take it to the Holy Spirit and you know, trust that things are going to shift when you're ready to see it, in addition to it also meaning that maybe there are some boundaries that you'll need to set for yourself, for others.
You know, one other thing that kind of occurs to me, because I know in the workplace a lot of times, you know, I'll be in these situations and I feel like I have to do something. And this is one thing that really sticks with me with the course, because it says I need do nothing. And the more I come from that, because when I check in with the Holy Spirit in these situations at work, I'm telling you, it's always the answer I get. You need do nothing. When I go into situations at work with the Holy Spirit, because I'll get very fearful sometimes. I work with a lot of men who, they can be scary, and when I go into these situations at work with the Holy Spirit, literally saying, look, help me here because I don't know how this is going to turn out, I am so amazed at how natural things become. I don't know how else to put it. And how effortless things become. But there's never anything really dramatic. Well, sometimes there's dramatic shifts that I see before my eyes, but it all feels more natural to me. I hope that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing in that situation is this paragraph. It's actually on page 293. I check in with this as often as I can. It's called Finding the Present.
because we're usually, you know, when we go, when we start to feel overwhelmed, a lot of the time is because we're either going into the past or, you know, projecting out into the future of how it's going to be or how, you know, and it drains your energy to such a point. I hope that's helpful.
Absolutely.
Because the workplace is a challenge, boy. It's a big challenge.
It can be one of our biggest teaching learning situations. Carla, was any of that helpful?
Is she gone?
No, I'm still here. You didn't run me off. Yeah.
Carla, when
yeah.
you were talking, it's like, boy, do I know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's the supervisor situation. But anyway, Corinne, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you just pretty much, you know, validated how I felt. And I don't want to increase my fear and I don't want to increase my guilt because there is still a part of me that's like, well, you are a course student and you know this stuff. And if you're, you know, if you're not beyond this stuff, then maybe you're not doing that right either. And even with the area that I work in, there's a part of me that's like, well, you should know how to handle that, you know. And I'm going, I need to stop shitting on myself because it doesn't, it's not really helping. And it's like just, you know, offering up my piece like the little maitre d's at the restaurants with little towels on their arm, you know. Every little thing, you know, would you like my piece, you know, and I'm just really, really fed up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought about that setting the boundary, and there's a part of me that wants to, and there's a part of me that doesn't want to, but the situation keeps happening. So it's like I need to say something because now that's me saying that I am worthy as long as I'm going about it in a loving way. But I need to say something for my own peace of mine. But anyway, there's just one problem I have looking like problem at work. Problem feeling overwhelmed at the house. I think I'm separate and that I did something to God, and that God is just punishing me and has abandoned me. And this, I'm unworthy, too, you know, to be at peace and to live with all the joy that that book keeps sharing about in every chapter that I read, every other paragraph. So I got one problem, period.
Yeah, and that unworthiness, that belief in separation, you know, it's showing up again and again in, you know, this repeated pattern of coming up for you to look at it with the Holy Spirit, to step back and say, you know, here it is again, like I'm willing to look at this with you. And again, the Course is not about self-correcting with, you know, getting us to decide, I should be above this, you know, I need to just look past this and, you know, forgive. The Course says we don't even know how to forgive. That's how utterly dependent we are on the Holy Spirit, just like it said in our reading tonight, of the Holy Spirit to remember for us, because we don't. And so we don't know how to forgive. We don't know anything. All we know is that, you know, we can take in any given moment what's coming up to the Holy Spirit, go through our lessons without guilt, allow ourselves to be where we're at, and that can be the most loving thing that we can do. And again, as we go through our lessons, allowing ourselves to be where we're at, taking them to the Holy Spirit will use all of it on behalf of our awakening, and we'll get there. It's guaranteed.
Yeah, there's something like really quick, Karen, I just wanted to add. I read something today that really helped me, because I feel like as light workers, we set this standard for ourselves, like Carla was talking about, like I should know better because I'm a course student and I'm, you know, out there in the world, you know, as an example, and I should know this stuff, right? And I feel like as miracle workers, as light workers, we can be really hard on ourselves about what it all means to be a light worker and how we're supposed to act. And we have this idea that being a light worker means everything's, you know, hearts and rainbows and stuff all the time, and it's
unicorn.
That's not the point of the journey. And I read this quote that I felt was so profound today. It says, peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it.
Oh,
so it's not that, you know, things just dissipate and there is no potential for egoic thought anymore. It's that we have a different way of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because he shifts our perception when we ask for that help. You know, another thing too is the two voices and two choices. Which voice are we listening to? Would God be saying to you, Carla, here I am, a spiritual student, and I've failed at this. Is that the voice for God? You know, I think that just simplifies, for me at least, that simplifies so much. Because what are we identifying? Which voice are we identifying with? Because in truth, we are as God created us. We're home. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's over with. Mm-hmm. We're in this situation. Which voice are we listening to?
Mm-hmm.
Voice for God is always going to tell you, you are fabulous.
Mm-hmm. You're healed.
You are not guilty.
Bam, if I had a gavel, I would whack it. Not guilty.
Carla,
we will hold you in the light, and you know, again, we're all working this, and we're helping each other along the way. So I'm so glad you were here. I'm so glad everybody was here. We've gone a bit over, so thanks, everyone, for hanging around. Thank you for another phenomenal, phenomenal call.
Phenomenal.
And we will meet again next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.